You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mythic Quest is over, but we are just getting started here, crushing it on post-show recaps. I'm Jess Sterling, here with someone who absolutely loves the brunch, Adam H. Adam, how are you?
I'm doing so good. Thank you for paying for the brunch. I'm going to order about 40 pancakes, but then also absolutely scarf down this waffle with my bare hands. I'm so excited for the brunch, Jess. The brunch is going to be great. Hopefully we don't start crying.
The minute that pancakes were mentioned on this episode, I could feel the just veering off into tangents. I could like feel my body being drawn off the rails.
Yes.
Already.
Well, it's tough, Jess, because we have talked extensively about food on this podcast and every podcast that we do, and I have made my breakfast rankings quite clear when it comes to the pancake, waffle, prep, French toast debate. Pancakes are very much at the bottom of the list, unfortunately, for those of you pancake lovers, and there's a lot of pancakes in the episode, and I have to say, Jess, the pancakes did not look very good. They
lacked a bit of the like fluff that I like to see. They looked a little flat, which sounds weird to say about pancakes.
A little flat pancakes, yeah.
A little bit of flat pancake-itis. But here's the thing. I love a pancake. Now you can't, it doesn't have the ability to just be manhandled in the way that waffles do, as we saw with Poppy. But honestly, 0% chance I'm picking up anything that's going to be dunked in syrup. So that's fine.
What? What about like a French toast stick?
No, I don't want to touch it because I hate the stickiness of syrup on my hands.
Okay, I'm not saying dip your hands in syrup, but you've never like dipped like a French toast stick when you were...
I mean, I definitely have, but like honestly, like French toast is at the bottom of my list.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Oh. Okay, well,
we're already off. And we're
it's fine.
Barely
yeah,
off.
It's...
Listen, this is the podcast. If you love it, subscribe. PosureRecaps.com/binge show recaps. That's where you can subscribe and listen to the podcast. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Throw us 5 stars. You know, it helps with the ratings and the up in the charts, and you know the deal. Anyway, we're talking season 3, episode 3, crushing it today. And I gotta say, Adam, I loved this episode. It was so fun. It was so beautiful. I loved it. It made me laugh.
Yeah, it was a very fun episode. It was very enjoyable to watch. There were a lot of times where I was like smiling while watching the episode. And I'll say I think we talked about this a little bit in our first podcast about the first two episodes. The various pairings of people that we get here are slightly unexpected, but just so perfect. I love it so much. They're really trying stuff, new stuff here. And I think it really worked this episode, especially. There was not a point in this episode where I was like, okay, maybe I didn't want that. I loved every bit of it. I really thought front to back, it was really, really good.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying. I feel like this is probably the least amount of Ian we've seen in a season, like 3 episodes in. And I love Ian, but like, I'm so happy about how much time we're giving to these other characters, specifically Carol, who they were just like, you know what? We're going all in on Carol. And I am here for it. Brad is already making moves. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like everything, this was an episode that's going to set up things for the future 100%. but it also just had this light and this like fun energy, especially with the brunch ladies, the ladies of the brunch.
Yeah, ladies of the brunch. It was so fun, Jess, and I totally agree that it will set up things later, but I also really love that, like, at the beginning of this episode, I kind of thought, okay, we're going to move some plot forward. You know, we talked about the movie. I thought, okay, we're going to, like, you know, move forward here. We're going to do stuff. Poppy's accomplishing things. David is accomplishing things. Brad is trying to accomplish things. But, like, we really didn't move a lot of plot forward. And I kind of like that because I thought we were going to. I thought this was going to be more of like a, you know, very story intensive episode, but instead it's much more of a character intensive episode. And, you know, shout out to my girl, Joe. Such good TV. Just so fun to watch. Like, such an interesting character that, like, in almost any other show, her type of character, I would hate and, like, truly despise. Yes. But in this one, she works so well with everything. And it's, like, sometimes you need that person to, like, push you a little bit there and be a part of it while you can also kind of push them there. She really had, like, some of the standout lines this episode.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think Joe is one of those characters that, like, in real life, you would actually hate. Like, they're not a human being you'd want to be around. But the actress does such a good job at making Joe so funny and rootable, even though you shouldn't want to root for her. Like, she does that little turn when she's in Grim Pop, and she just looks so sad. And you can't help but be like, all right, do you want to come to brunch, Joe? Like, she cracked me up. She, like, learned friendship this episode, and I just find it, I love, like we've said before, when they experiment and make different pairings, because last season we got a lot of Dana and Poppy, and now we're getting Rachel and Poppy. And I really love how they mix things up. I think Dana and Ian is a really fun pair that I'd love to see more with. We've only seen like little snippets of them together. I'd love to see them work more together because I just feel like they both have this like creative zest in them that will mesh really well. So yeah, I think this show definitely needs to be commended for just, it really reminds me of Community in a lot of ways, where they love to have an ensemble cast and then just shuffle it every episode. It's almost like they take like, I don't know, like put names in a hat, shuffle them together and pull out two. And they're like, these are the two characters we're going to put together this week. And it just, it's really enjoyable and just shows the talent of these actors that they're able to like have this chemistry with everybody.
Yeah. And it seems new and interesting every time. Like you're saying, Jess, I totally agree. It's like different, you know, characters and shuffling all the time. But the stories that they're putting together once they get those pairings are not only insanely logical, but just so fun to watch. And so it's like, we're not just doing it just to do it. We're not just like pairing people because, oh, that would be an interesting pair. They're pairing it because like the story makes a lot of sense for those people to be together. And I really appreciate that because I feel like sometimes in shows, and I honestly, I feel like this happens in Community sometimes, where we have these various pairs where it's just like, doesn't make a ton of sense. It's good watching, it's good like humor and stuff like that, I really enjoy it, but like maybe the story doesn't make a ton of sense. I feel like that does not apply here to Mythic Quest because everything I feel like is very story driven, and I really do appreciate that. And like we were saying at the beginning, shout out to Carol. I know I predicted Carol to be like, you know, moving up in the world of Mythic Quest. I did not predict her to get so much airtime this season. She is everywhere, and I'm here for it. And of course, just one of your favorites. Welcome back to Sue. Sue is back.
I screamed. I was so happy when I saw her on my screen. She was moving up in the world, only lasted an episode upstairs, but that's fine. But like, and not only that, but to have like just the interactions between Sue and David and then Sue and Brad and Carol, like, oh, one of my favorite line of the entire episode was said by Sue, and we'll get there. But I just love it. Let's get into this episode. If you want to send us your feedback, of course, you could do so. So many ways. You can become a patron at PosherRecaps.com/Patreon. If you want to join our Discord community, we're talking about this show in there. There's millions of channels. You could chat about pets and snacks and Dungeons and Dragons and all your favorite TV shows and movies. So check that out. Of course, you could always send in your feedback via email, Jess@PosherRecaps.com. You can also tag us on Twitter for however long that lasts. I'm at the Jess Sterling. Adam is at PianoManAdam1. That is where you can find us. Send us in your feedback. Let's dive into this episode because we have so much to cover. So we start off with David, who calls a meeting with Joe and Carol, and Brad's like just running in there to dump out the trash, which nay, I say. Oh. Brad did this just to get the lowdown. Guaranteed.
Oh, you know, there's something mischievous happening here. This wasn't a coincidence.
No, this was 100% on purpose. And Joe is just like demands Brad stay and listen. And we find out that Montreal called and they told David they want to make Mythic Quest into a movie and that they want to name him as executive producer. And all of them are just like, but aren't you executive producer right now? And he's like, well, yes, but not on the movie. They want to make a movie. And no one seems to care.
Yeah, it doesn't seem to be like that big of a thing. Jess, video games turned into movies. Is that a thing you're familiar with? Do you have any that you like, any that you don't like?
Gosh, I'm trying to think of ones I've seen. Like, I know Halo, the show, exists. I know that, well, The Walking Dead was a comic. I think they made a video game after it, actually. What's the other, like, Super Mario, Sonic, right? There's, like, a variety of them. I'm trying to think of if I've seen any, though. None stand out. Can you think of any? Last of Us is coming up.
Sonic was the one that I would, probably say that I have actually seen comparatively to a lot of the other ones. It was okay. And, you know, they've done a Pikachu, or rather Pokemon, rather. I think there was one.
Detective Pikachu. I saw that one. Yeah, I think it's tough. Right, like you've said in the past, video games have some of the best storytelling there is. And it's not like it can't be done, but it really depends on what the type of video game it is, right? So like Angry Birds, right? They've made that into a film. I'm not really one for like the cutesy ones. Like I'm very interested in watching the show The Last of Us, which is coming up. I haven't played the video game yet. I really want to. But like, that seems more interesting to me, but mostly because it's a show, not a movie, and it's being made by HBO, and because I trust like the actors that are in it, right? So I think it really depends, but I think for me it would depend on the type of game they're adapting.
Sure. Do you think that Mythic Quest will be a successful? Should we lock in right now? Will it be a successful movie adaptation?
I'm gonna say I think it will make some money, but I don't think it's gonna be critically acclaimed.
Oh, okay. I don't even think it's gonna happen. I think it's gonna fail.
Ooh, interesting. What I'm thinking is like in season one, Dark Quiet Death.
Yeah.
If you remember, they had Dark Quiet Death game, and eventually it got made into a movie with that stupid little fuzzy Roscoe, who's always like lurking in the backgrounds in the office. I saw him on a poster this week. I think what's going to happen is exactly what Sue thinks is going to happen. The players are going to hate it. Mm-hmm. They're going to hate it because they're going to make, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be conflict between David, who's going along with the execs and kind of doing what they want to do, and Ian, who is going to be pissed because the game is not being made with the original story in mind, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it could be interesting. It could be an interesting way to bring them back together, too, if we're thinking about how this season
might end. The storyline. I think this is a good way to get Ian back in the mix with MQ.
Even though it didn't really get him back in the mix episode.
Not yet.
But it might. Yeah, it might go forward, even though he still doesn't know. But yeah.
So Carol's like, why are you wasting my time? Joe is pissed that they looked like sad sacks. I can make them sad. I can put them in sacks. And David says, take the day off. Go hang out with your friends. But on your way out, can you go down to Grim Pop and send Ian up? And David like sits back in his chair and he's like, this is the year of Brittlesby. Gotta say, top tier last name for David, but it also like feels like a last name David would have. Does that make sense? No.
No. It feels like is it because that is his last name or?
No, it's like, okay, let me put it this way. It's like if someone's last name was like Hornswoggle.
Whoa.
Like it just feels like Brittlesby feels like, okay, if anybody plays Dungeons and Dragons, which we're talking about a gaming show, so why not? We could take this tangent. Brittlesby to me sounds like a gnomish last name, and therefore it feels kind of silly and ridiculous, and I feel like that fits David.
Okay. This is interesting last name analysis. What does Sterling and Humphrey indicate? What classes are we?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, Sterling sounds definitely like a knight or like a, you know, like a someone who wears a lot of armor.
Knights of
Humphrey
Sterling
sounds like a halfling.
Okay.
Is this incorrect?
Well, I don't know. I don't think there is a correct or incorrect, but
I wanted to win the game, Adam.
Oh, okay. Classic Sterling right there. Classic knight there. No, I guess I don't disagree with the concept. Brittlesby sounds, to me, it sounds like a very weak name. And so, like, you know, not a lot of backbone in the name Brittlesby.
Yeah, there's not like car-tuh noises. It's all like buh.
Yeah. Also, if anyone out there wants us to evaluate your last names, just let us know.
No, we will not be doing that.
We probably won't, but.
But there you go. You're welcome. Poppy is talking to herself as she codes, code baby code, slice, slice baby. She finishes coding and like she can't even find Ian to celebrate, but she does find Rachel stealing road snacks and looking for Dana. And Poppy just goes on and on about like Ian and Dana being in the middle of the desert. They're like, she's talking about them like doing peyote and taking weird like spa baths. I don't even know.
What do you think is happening? Or I guess my better question is, what was your favorite thing that they alluded to? Because like all of those crystals being shoved up their butt is very funny.
Yeah, that was definitely my favorite one. Like, cause Rachel's just like, are they actually doing this?
Yeah, is that what's happening? It's like, Bob's like, I don't know.
She's about to go right back to coding, but Poppy or Rachel convinces her that you should go out and celebrate. You just like accomplished something really big. So let's do brunch. Nothing says a party like pancakes.
Man.
And Poppy pauses for an amount of time, Adam, where I thought she was going to be like you and be a pancake hater.
I was hoping that she would be a pancake.
A whole hater. Pause. You were hoping that she would be like, I hate pancakes.
Yep. I really was hoping she would be like, you know, why not waffles? But alas, she does, you know, she does like the pancakes.
Mm-hmm. Perfect timing for Joe to come downstairs looking for Ian. Ian Elizabeth Grimm.
Love that. Absolutely love.
Just the assumption that his last name is Elizabeth or middle name is Elizabeth is beautiful. So good. And I love how Rachel's like, is that actually his last name? Like, or his middle name? Like, is that, because Joe sounds so like, you know, confident. Like it's real.
Yeah, she's very, yeah, she's, you know, she comes in screaming. She yells it so loud too in a room that like it's big, but like there's no one there. Like, why are you yelling this?
Yeah, it's empty. She's screaming. Joe's like, well, I guess I did my job. I'll just leave then. And she just like doesn't even move, basically. She just stands there. And Rachel, this pause is so long where Rachel looks at Poppy, Poppy looks at Rachel, and finally they invite her to brunch.
Yeah, it's an interesting move. I certainly was not expecting us to get more of like the Joe content here, especially when it comes to like the friendship. That line earlier, I didn't even like think of until this is coming back later. But when David is like, go hang out with your friends or whatever, take the day off. Like that didn't even click for me that we were going to get something about Joe and friendship. Like I did not expect that whatsoever. Or I also didn't expect her to have any kind of reaction to it, right? Where she would like have, you know, kind of an emotional reaction there, but she kind of does here. And you know, she turns around slowly, like to clearly wants to be invited to some stuff because honestly, Joe does like, we haven't seen Joe have a lot of friendship on the show. We've seen her be very attracted to power and like the work element of it all. But in terms of friendship, she hasn't really like mixed it up with anyone. Even like her and Brad, who were like maybe friends, you could say last season.
Yeah, they're more like frenemies. Like,
yeah.
I think with I love that we're getting more of this from Joe. I have to say, I think it rounds her out as a character in a way that she was a little, again, not, I don't want to say underdeveloped because that doesn't really feel like the right word, but like she wasn't on the same level as some of the other characters where I feel like I truly know who they are. Yeah. Joe is a little one note in like what she loves power, right? She's power hungry. That's the thing we know about Joe. But I feel like we learned so much about her this episode. And I think a lot of what we found out informs why she is the way she is. She mentions later in the episode that she had a bully. And to me, she very much reads as someone who was bullied very young and therefore learned to just not depend on people and be very independent and solely focused and just kind of like treat people like they treated her when she was a kid and kind of never really recovered in that way, never really got close to people because she probably doesn't trust them. And she's so eager to please and power hungry that she doesn't want human beings standing in her way. And I think like a lot of, I couldn't have said half of that before this episode. And I really love that we got not only so much just like information about Joe, but also the way it was delivered to us. It's like in a really fun brunch setting.
It was very fun. Certainly here going forward, we're going to talk about these scenes and I freaking love them so much. But the one thing I will say here is that I'm glad that we didn't get too much of the before of this, because I feel like it would have been easier for them to write and give Joe a scene or two where she's like kind of feeling alone and is expressing those opinions and then like go forward to this. And I feel like that kind of storytelling is very tired, and we like, it happens a lot where we like see it and then it resolves and then we go forward. I'm actually kind of okay with like just letting Joe sort of slowly and subtly express like some of these feelings and thoughts and then go forward and move them and not be like whacked over the head with it. And so like, again, here I am commending the show for like how they are choosing to tell this story of a character whose story I didn't think they were going to tell. So, you know, I love this so much.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's when characters change, when people change, it does not happen overnight. It is slow. It's subtle. It's hardly noticeable. And I think that's kind of, if I had to predict it, I think that's what we're going to see going forward with Joe a little more, is that she does have a little bit of a heart, right? Like she's a bit of the Grinch and her heart's not going to go three sizes, but it's not going to be quite as cold as it once was. So she gets invited to brunch. We have Brad taking out Carol's trash. And he's like, oh, I've noticed a lot of things. I've noticed like three or four resumes you were throwing out a day and all the smudges indicating you play a lot of Candy Crush on your phone. Adam, level 247, Carol is on.
Jess, I have played Candy Crush.
Same.
Would you like to guess what level I got to?
Oh, 172. Am I close?
No, I have gotten to level 917.
See, the funny thing was, is I was going to come on this podcast and be like, Candy Crush is for such boomers. Like, I just don't know. I played Candy Crush when there was like the Candy Crush craze, but then I fell off of it like everyone else did. And so I was like, wow, for them to have a Candy Crush storyline, like they're making Carol feel really old.
I don't play it a ton recently. Every rough like month or so I'll like download it and then go through a bunch of levels, but like it was mainly in high school and college for me, where just like during classes, between classes, all the time I would just be crushing Candy Crush. 917. I really would like to get to 1,000 at some point in the near future, but
See,
I love Candy Crush, Jess. It was so fun.
No, liked Candy Crush. The problem is when I have to do a level a certain number of times, I just eventually am like, okay, I'm done. I don't care anymore.
Yes. That is always how I end up like uninstall.
Yeah, I get bored. I'm like, all right, on to the next game. I don't have the attention span for that. But Carol's like, you know what? I'm not okay. And I'm not busy. I'm the Hody.
Yes.
The head of diversity and inclusion. And Brad says, yeah, but they're not going to give you enough money to let you make a difference. He used to be the homie. The head of monetization and internet e-commerce. He's like, you know what? If I was still the homie, I could have made money out of nowhere. And she's like, you know what? Can I talk to the... And then she like pauses. She's like, homie. Like it pains her to say homie. And it honestly, it pained me to hear it, Adam.
Yes. These abbreviations here, or these little, you know, nicknames, whatever you want to call them. Not a huge fan of them.
No.
However, I do think that we should start implementing them for us. So like,
oh no.
What are we? Are you like the Hoppy, the head of podcasting
initiative?
Yeah. I feel like it has to end in like an E, like an I or an I rather. E
well, sound. The I is initiative.
Okay. Head of podcasting initiatives.
Well, what are you then?
I don't know. What am I?
The head of the anti-pancake agenda. Hoppa.
Hoppa! Hoppa!
That was so unintentional, but wonderful. I'm so sorry to everyone's ears who just got blasted out by me screaming, Hoppa!
Hoppa!
We love it. Okay, what am I again? The Hoppy?
Hoppy and Hoppa.
And Hoppa!
Hoppy and Hoppa.
So stupid. We sound like somebody's grandparents.
Here's your Hoppy!
Here's your Hoppa! Oh gosh, I hope anybody is as delighted by that as we were.
They're definitely not.
Definitely not. So yeah, then evil music plays as he like walks back to talk to her. Meanwhile, David and Sue reunited. I was very excited. They're talking about filming locations for the movie. David's talking like, oh, I hope I could go back to this waterfall where I proposed to my wife, and Sue goes, ex-wife.
Yeah. Love the constant reminders that it's ex-wife. Totally unnecessary, but I love it.
And we find out Sue has moved into David's old office now that he is in Ian and Poppy's old office. So she's upstairs. And I loved David saying he's going to say to Ian, it's just business. And she's like, oh, business. I like that.
Yes, I love Sue here. I'm trying to remember, did we make Sue predictions?
We didn't, because I didn't think she was going to be around a ton. But I had had a prediction, you know that my predictions would have been David falls in love.
David falls in love with Sue, yeah.
And then Sue's prediction was David falls in love with Sue.
Yes, okay. Well, are you – okay, I guess right here, are you getting any romantic vibes? How are you feeling about that as of right now?
I still feel like it's possible, but can I tell you what I actually think might happen?
Oh.
I think they're going to have like a one-night stand.
Scandalous!
A scandalo!
Oh my god. Hoppa! Oh my goodness.
Don't you think? Can you feel the vibes?
Boy, if we did a draft of like characters most likely to have a one-night stand with someone, both David and Sue might not even get drafted.
Definitely not, but I just feel the vibes. There's sexual tension between them.
Or are you wanting there to be sexual tension between them?
I might just not.
Because I don't know that I was picking up that vibe.
Listen, who else in the entire world, when David says, it's just business, would be impressed? Like, literally no one. Only Sue is like, oh, business.
Okay, I think there's a generous read on Sue's reaction there. I don't think she was, like, disgusted, but I don't think she was
liked
fawning
the business.
Over him. Be like, oh, business. I don't think that was what I
she
thought.
She loved the business.
Whoa.
I'm just saying.
Easy.
Yeah, so one of my favorite character notes of all time for Sue is that she has like plants and cat things everywhere. And he's like, oh, I love your cats. And she's like, I would hope to have one day. And I'm like, Sue, why don't you have a cat?
Oh my God. Yeah.
What, you're an adult. Why can't you have a cat?
And if you don't have a cat, why do you have these?
There's something wrong. There's something so wrong.
Whose cat do you have pictures of in your office, if not yours?
I just want to know. Like, I've never wanted to know a character beat more than I want to know why Sue doesn't have a cat.
Yeah. And we're never going to know, but.
We're never going to know. But I'll always be obsessed with it.
Do you have do you have any theories?
I feel like it's something really weird. Like,
you care to elaborate?
Feel like she got like banned from like cat adoption agencies somehow. And I don't know why, but I just feel it for something just, really weird.
You have some really weird outside of office stuff for Sue, I think. So your two main things here for Sue outside of the office, number one, freak in the sheets. Number two, banned from cat adoption places.
I'm really weird. I don't know why she gives me those vibes. Why do you think she doesn't have a cat? Is she just like allergic to them? Is it that
maybe
simple?
Someone at home is allergic to them? Or
such a boring answer though.
How do you get banned from cat adoption places?
I have no idea, but I feel like Sue could do it.
Well, what could you possibly do for them to be like, no, I don't want to rescue
you
this cat.
You can't have a cat. I have no idea.
Oh my goodness.
Maybe she was a hoarder.
Of cats?
Yes. Oh no, but that doesn't make sense as I hope to have one day. Like, you wouldn't say that if you've already had cats.
Yeah.
You would say, like, again.
Well,
I can't be right. Anyway, so yeah, so she's like, listen, you can't make this movie. The players will band together online and ruin its reputation. This game is their special place. You can't just walk into someone's special place and mess with their stuff. They'll lose their minds. She's very upset by this.
Very much so.
Which I understand why, because she's like, I forget what it's called, the community relations or whatever.
Yeah. Well, you know, she gets all that feedback as well, but I will say it's very interesting, especially this episode. All of the previous two seasons, we've definitely seen her keep her cool. She was very, calm and like, you know, it's okay.
It's the sunlight. It revs her up.
Yeah. Maybe she didn't. She shouldn't have come out of the basement. I don't know.
Yeah. But David is thinking about Ian and how he might cry. He's like, Ian's probably going to try to take away my moment. I'm going to reclaim my power. He's getting very power hungry right now.
I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I kind of like this from David.
Absolutely. He needs something new. Yeah. He's always been stripped of his power and like emasculated over and over again. So he was due for this.
Yeah, he was due for this very specific moment because we will see him get stripped and emasculated
I can't wait. All right, so before we get into the next section, let's go to a quick ad break, and we're gonna go to the brunch. Okay, it's time to go to brunch. Joe, I love Joe. They get there and she's like, "Why are so many people here? Don't they have jobs?" Which, you know.
I have thought that while going to a brunch, but yeah. Also it was like when I probably was working. So, I always wonder how people get to go to brunch in the middle of the day. Maybe make it a work thing. Long lunch? I don't know.
I don't know. A brunch feels specifically strange, though, because it's not a lunch and it's not a breakfast. It's a brunch.
Yeah.
So are you just taking an early lunch?
I don't know. Do people do a lot of brunching on the weekdays if they're not like on vacation?
I can't imagine they would be, because it's like smack dab. For me, it is smack dab in the middle of my most productive time of day.
Yes. Same.
Which is the morning, it is 9 a.m. I've had my coffee. I am chugging along, baby.
Yeah. I don't know what that voice was, but also 9 a.m. is oh my God. 9 a.m. is very early for brunch. If you're on vacation, I love it. And I did midday brunch a lot in college on the weekdays, but it was because I didn't have classes until late.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's obviously different.
I think like a normal brunch for me would be like a 10 or 11 a.m. I think that's like a brunch. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out of here with your afternoon brunches. That's linner. Anyway.
No, linner's not a word.
Dunch.
It's just lunch. If it's past noon, it's just lunch.
Anyway. So, yeah, Rachel says it's a sacred place where we could talk and laugh. And Poppy says, yeah, Joe, act like you've been to the brunch before.
The brunch.
Like, it's not the brunch. She's like, that's what we call it in Australia, is the brunch. Mm. They get so many pancakes, which Rachel's like, you know what? I'm going to have to take some of these to go because I'm in between paychecks right now. But they start doing cheers, and Poppy says, here's to me crushing it at work and being a total badass who doesn't need Diane's validation. And Joe cheers to a girl who used to bully her losing her house in a tornado.
Again, I think it's really funny. These lines get me so much.
It's so good.
She just says it so casually too, like clearly not picking up on the situation at all. She's like, losing your house in a tornado. Brutal.
And then she's like, oh, I did it. And they're like, no. Yeah, cheers to Joe crushing it at brunch. Or at the brunch. And they all cheers. Meanwhile, David goes downstairs to Grimpop. He gets locked in there because he can't find the elevator buttons. And he just starts trying to do a voice activation. Elevator open. Activate elevator. Elevator. And then he does like, elevator open. Like a British voice or something.
Was that your British voice?
No.
Also, I thought he was trying to do an Australian voice.
Oh, maybe it was because of Poppy. That makes so much more sense. Well, whatever it was,
very good. Yeah, it wasn't very good. Could we do like an Australian elevator open? Elevator open.
Elevator open, matey.
Jess, you might have to cut that. That is one of the worst accents I have ever heard.
So I apologize to the population of Australia.
Oh my god. Oh my god, Jess.
I don't know why I thought he was doing it in a British voice because it sounded British, but it makes so much more sense that it would be Australian. Anyway, I apologize to the entire continent. Just honestly, I apologize to the world. Anyway, moving on. It's really funny that he gets locked in there, and it's going to be even funnier when we get the montage. Poppy is really annoyed because Adam, he didn't even thumbs up her text.
I will say I feel like thumbs upping a text is very like passive aggressive.
I would hate the thumbs up.
Yeah, I would almost rather you not respond. But also, I'm not very good at responding. So, you know, like I get it. You know, sometimes you got to go do stuff, especially if he is actually doing any of the things that Poppy was saying that he is doing. Who's got time for that?
Yeah, when really he was actually working the whole time, it seems like. Or maybe they were just hanging out. But regardless, he was at Grimpop the whole time. Poppy eats waffles like an animal.
Yeah.
Like a straight up savage.
How? Like, I don't even understand. We only see, I think we get like two shots of this.
She basically is holding a waffle.
Yeah.
And she pours the syrup all over, like including on her hand. And it made me feel sticky in like the grossest way possible.
Yeah. This is not how you should be eating waffles, but you know
what? Use a fork and knife, you savage.
It's right there. Yeah. I guess like there's no wrong way to eat a waffle.
There is, and this is it.
I think I'm so pro waffle that I don't mind this.
Okay, really? Yeah, girl, rip those open with your hands.
Just like you do you, baby. Get in there. Whatever you need to do.
Oh my god. I used to watch this YouTube channel where they would sometimes make like weird foods and everything. And there was one girl who always had to eat, quote unquote, from the middle, because she hypothesized that the middle bite is the best bite, which like is fair when you eat a sandwich. But like, imagine trying to eat the waffle from the inside out. That is a wrong way to eat a waffle.
Also, if the middle is the best bite, which first of all, I'm not even willing to concede that argument. But if the middle, if the middle is the best bite, why would you want to eat it first? Because then everything after that is worse.
Because basically she was like worried she would get stuffed on the rest of it before she got to the middle. So you got to go middle first to get the best possible bite to review it.
How big is that waffle that you're worried about being stuffed?
I'm just saying in general, she didn't even eat a waffle. This is just me saying that's a wrong way to eat a waffle.
Yeah. There's still no wrong way to eat a waffle, though. What if Poppy, okay, this is going to sound weird. What if Poppy likes being sticky with the syrup? You know what, Jess? Wait a minute. Hold on. I think I figured this out. If you pour enough syrup on your hands while eating the waffle, then you don't have to keep pouring it, because when you pick up your next waffle, be syrup.
I just imagine how sticky her hands were when she was done. Ugh.
Yeah.
She's gross. Anyway, she says women supporting women is what the brunch is all about. And so Joe says, well, maybe he tried to text you, but he ended up dying in a mangled car crash. And they're just like, what is wrong with you? But then I love this because Joe gets it right. And she says, maybe Ian just sucks. And they're like, yeah, Ian does suck. And we're badass bitches. Empowered women at brunch.
We love this from Joe. Picking it up here and then just suggesting it. I'm not saying it comes out of nowhere, but there's a lot of growth in this one little moment here of just like, oh, tornado got blown away. Oh, you know, could have done a car crash.
Yeah.
And she doesn't like really pick up on any of the cues earlier too. One thing that we did miss, but one of my favorite parts of this whole scene, Joe walking into brunch, stopping at a random person. What do you do for work?
Like,
I love it.
Stop it, Joe. And she's like, I'm just asking a question.
Yeah, I don't understand why that would be a problem. Like, Joe's not been picking up on any of the cues thus far. And now here she is, you know, being like, what if I just sucks? Which is like, that's a realization that they probably should have been having a while ago of just like, hey, maybe he sucks.
And I feel like Joe wouldn't be able to say this if Ian still worked for MQ, but because he no longer works there, she just feels like she can say this. But yeah, this is great, great, great forward momentum for Joe here. We see just so many mimosas and Bloody Marys and Bevs, and Joe is like not drinking at all, just watching all of this happen. And then we get to the sobbing. Rachel starts sobbing because she doesn't want to go back to school. Everyone hates her. They're all so smart. She didn't know who Beowulf was.
It's so good. It was Beowulf. Oh, it's really good. I really liked Rachel this episode too. Like some of the annoying stuff from before, like wasn't as annoying to me this episode. So I really, I really appreciated that.
I think it was because like she has this very emotional moment where like she's very human. And she's just like having a really rough time, and her playing off of the other two women in this scene, it was so funny.
Yeah.
Poppy starts crying. She's upset. Ian won't text her back. And Rachel, they probably think I'm stupid. And Joe's like, they probably do. She's like, well, I was being supportive. I agreed with her. And they're like both sobbing, and Joe's like, so this is brunch.
I suppose this is brunch for them. Have you ever had a brunch like this where people are like sobbing and crying at the table?
No, I mean, no shame to anybody who publicly cries. I really am not a public crier. You know?
So not even at a brunch table if this conversation were to happen?
No. Although I've never gotten like day drunk on mimosas either. So,
oh,
you know. But that seems so acidic. Like, oh, I'm getting heartburn thinking about it.
It's a lot of orange juice. That was a really young person thing of you to say right there. About drinking mimosas at brunch and you're worried about the
I would worry about the heartburn, to be honest. I'm not a spring chicken anymore, you know, as they say.
Who's they? Who's
old people? They say they're not spring chickens. They're old chickens? I don't know. Old hens? Whatever.
I don't even know. How did we get here? What are you?
Anyway, old hens? You called me a young... I don't know what you call... Anyway. Carol and Brad want the designers to create a quick loot box for them to sell. And Brad is like, all the usuals. But they were all overworked and underpaid. And Carol's like, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to fix the culture. So they're trying to get this poor guy to work all weekend. And he's like, but the goal is to increase the budget. And he's like, how are you going to hire new people when you can't even pay the ones you have? And they start talking about this Hody and F homie or F homie and Cahody or Chody. No, Cahody. It doesn't matter. Poor Phil thinks he's getting fired. And Brad's like, not yet, but the entire model is going to be outdated and very soon you will be fired.
Yeah, this is brutal. It's very interesting to kind of see the downfall of Carol here, as she like started off with like such pure intentions. She wanted to do good, and now she's taking advice from the homie, and it's not good. It's not good. It's not good at all.
Yeah. I hate this for Carol. It's like she immediately gets sucked into Brad's terror tornado, and just like I hate this for Carol girl. Why are you listening to Brad? He's a bad guy and everybody knows it.
All you have to do is just sit at your desk and play Candy Crush. Why are you trying to do more?
So David is still lost. He's in the hallway just touching the walls and screaming for help. And then what am I favorite moments is when he starts saying, every morning there's a halo. It's like of all the songs.
Oh my gosh. So this good. Whole montage is so funny. Every little bit of it. Yeah. I was like laughing audibly at this point.
The dancing, 76 trombones in the big parade.
I love it so much.
I'm crying. It's really good. And then he takes off all his clothes and he makes a candy version of his face.
Yeah. This was a little confusing because like how long is he in there? How long do you think it takes him to like descend into madness? Because I think it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, see, the thing is where's his phone? Like, why isn't he just playing on his phone? That's what a normal human would do.
Like Candy Crush, David.
Yeah, he doesn't crush. No, I don't. I think he's been in here for at least, well, he ends up peeing himself. It has to be a few hours. If he peed himself, it has to be a couple hours.
Maybe.
Because otherwise, my friend, you got a little weak bladder. So Carol and Brad are talking to Sue about their new NFT initiative. Loot boxes of the past, NFTs of the future. Sue has my favorite line of the night. No effing thanks. Mm-hmm. And they're like, Sue. She's like, N, no, F, effing, T, thanks.
Yeah, they hate NFTs. Jess, are you like an NFT person?
No.
I don't even know what an NFT is, really.
I know it's very bad.
I thought I knew what it was, but like I've had people try and explain it to me and I still don't get it.
Okay, I'm going to look this up for all of us that are dumb. It stands for non-fungible token, which is a cryptographic asset on block. What are these words?
Yeah.
On a blockchain with unique identification codes and metadata that distinguish them from each other. What is this? How old do I have to be to understand this? You're a young person.
I thought I understood it, but like you can sell an NFT of a thing. And
is it like Bitcoin?
You own a thing. It's I don't know. I don't know.
So lost.
I always throw it in like the crypto thing where it's just like, I probably should not throw my money at this thing because it doesn't seem like it's good.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know what's happening. I just know people hate them. And Sue says that players hate them. Gamers hate everything. But Brad says, well, gamers hate everything new, but eventually they learn to like it or at least tolerate it. But Sue has had enough. She has had enough.
Yeah.
She takes her plants and she goes back underground.
Rip to those plants. They are not long for this world.
No. I mean, some plants can chill in the darkness, like they don't necessarily need light. Like there's bamboo, plenty of plants that can survive off just like synthetic light, or you know, what's a fluorescent light.
Sure.
But Sue had a lot of plants.
Yeah.
And also when you like mess with a plant's environment, they usually get pretty mad. And poor Sue, she says, you people come in here with the crazy ideas, torturing me with the knowledge of my future pain, which is also pretty sad.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is, I loved seeing Sue back on the screen, but like overall, yikes for everything that's happening with her. She does not have a lot of say in what's going on. And it's clearly going to get bombarded with stuff. How much more Sue do you think we're getting this season?
I hope more. I'm going to say she's going to be in, what are we on? Episode 3 out of 10. I'm going to say we get at least 3 more Sue cameos.
Okay. I would take the under on that. I don't. I feel like that's
why are you
a
doing this to me, Adam? Why are I don't you know.
I want more Sue, but I just like I don't see it. I don't know. I don't love her. Do it. No.
She was so good, and like the Brad and Carol's faces when she's like, "No effing thanks," was so good.
It was out of nowhere too. Like she was so like you know kind and very well mannered in the first 2 seasons, and now she's just like at a breaking point. I will say just though, your prediction of Sue and David getting together for When I Stand, that would certainly put her in more episodes than what I think. So yes, if that storyline happens, then she'll absolutely be in more.
I shall reign supreme. David has fallen asleep at Grim Pop. Dana and Ian find him on the floor. They've been in the lounge all day. And they mess with him. It's this way and this way. It's both ways and neither. And he's like, I hate you both and neither, or something like that. And he's like, well, how do you get in this elevator? And Dana's like, you have to think about the elevator, and it comes. He's like, really? She's like, no, here's the button. And he's like, yeah, well, I peed in your office. And they're like, it looks like you peed your pants. He's like, well, I peed in my pants in your office. It was so good.
Yeah, I did really like this. And David looks just like so weak and so like frail in this moment here.
He doesn't even get to rub it in Ian's face.
I was going
to
say he came down here to do something. He didn't even do it. Yeah. It's just really unfortunate. I'm going to make a little complaint here about Dana. Why did she not care that Rachel was coming over to like see her? She was just sitting there in the lounge and like didn't even like come out or notice or do anything.
I assumed that Rachel just stopped in that she didn't tell Dana she was coming.
Oh, I thought it was like a scheduled thing before that. Okay,
it didn't seem like it, but I mean, it could have been. It could have been just Dana just loses track of time when she's in the lounge with Ian. Like, who knows what they're doing? Like, they could be doing really weird stuff.
Whoa.
Like, you know, like the simulation-y type of stuff. Like, you can't, how are you keeping track of time in there?
I don't know. But I do think it bodes well for both of our predictions of them breaking up that, like, we're seeing, you know.
Barely together. It could be, well, it could go either way, though, right? They're barely together because they're such a stable relationship.
No.
They're barely together because they're really just, like, moving apart.
Yes. I mean, I think we're literally seeing them move apart, no?
Yes. But then they turn the office cyan, which...
Interesting choice.
Cool. Well, yeah. I've heard... Okay.
Yes.
I need to know from scientists if this is true.
Okay.
Because I learned about it on Grey's Anatomy. But...
Oh, boy.
I know. But they have this blue room. And supposedly blue is supposed to, like, help you.
Just in general help you?
Yeah. No, like, does the color blue make help you relax? I think it was supposed to relax people.
Okay.
Blue calls to mind feelings of calmness or serenity.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of those things where they're like, oh, if you face a red or an orange wall, like, you'll get, like, angry. Blue makes you calm. But maybe that's why they chose cyan.
I don't know that the color of the walls is what is determining my emotions.
No, but, like, they say it's more likely. Like, for example, they were like, oh, don't – in your schools, don't have red walls because, like, the kids will act up.
Huh. And you heard this on Grey's Anatomy?
The red balls thing I've heard elsewhere. But the blue thing I heard from Grey's Anatomy. And now, scientists, please just let me know if that's a real thing.
Yes, please.
I would love to know. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just saying it's on Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
That's all I have. Then we have Poppy and Rachel just sleeping in Joe's car. Joe lays on the horn. They're just outside of Vegas. Now, your friend and mine, Todd the librarian, sent in a question for the podcast. Did you also go 30 miles outside of Vegas to crush things in a tank while you were there?
We did not, unfortunately. That would have been very fun, though. It also calls to mind the Amazing Race challenge of, like, the smash it stuff that they did in Vegas, too, which was very fun. So, a little Amazing Race shout out there for you.
Yeah. Joe brought them to a shooting range. Rachel and Poppy are hesitant to go along with this. But Joe says, you know what? I tried something different and I learned something. And now I want to return the favor. Do you want shooting or crushing? And they pick crushing. And Joe says she's going to break the cycle of spin and bitch and bitch and spin. There's a tank that runs over cars and it looks so fun.
Is this your kind of jam, Jess?
You're would 1000% do this.
Okay. I like it. I will say, I was very worried that they were going to go, like, to the shooting range and, like, that was going to be what, like, releases their stress whatever.
Yeah, no, we don't need that.
I was very worried that that was what was going to happen because, like, I feel like we've seen that in other shows.
We've definitely seen that on other shows. I would hope that the show would be smarter than that considering the climate that we're in and, like, even as recently as this week, bad things happening with guns. I am very, very thankful that that is not what we got. And instead, we got a really fun tank running over cars.
Yes. I don't know that I would ever want to, like, be in the tank as it's running over cars. What? But I would love to be in the Joe spot of watching people do that while just, like, you, I think she's drinking beer or whatever.
She's drinking beer, yeah. I want, like, both. I want both because I feel like it's partly fun to, like, be on the outside and watching the cars get crushed. But I want to feel the power of being in the tank crushing something.
Okay. Just wants to crush it.
I want to crush it. Poppy gets a text from Ian and she's just like, throw it in the car. I'm going to crush it. And Joe does. And then Joe just says, friends. And I was like, my heart just melted just a little bit. Just a teeny tiny bit.
Joe's making friends. Probably not great to crush your phone when the thing that you have wanted to happen actually happens.
Well, and because you, like, phones are expensive. Like, don't.
Yeah.
It always bothers me when in television and movies and stuff, people, like, throw their phones. Yeah. I'm like, you just basically threw a computer. Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah. Phones are way too expensive. It makes no sense, especially because they're basically
like necessity. Throw a mug, like literally throw something that costs like $2. Like don't throw something that costs like hundreds of dollars.
Should we throw mugs, Jess?
Only ones that you don't like.
Oh, okay. I don't have enough mugs to justify.
I have a lot of good mugs.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, break something that's not going to shatter into a million pieces. Break something.
So not a mug. We're out on.
You know what you have to do?
What?
You got to break a plate and then go, hoppa! Oh! The bit comes back around.
Oh, my goodness.
But that was our episode. And it was lovely.
Yeah.
I love this show. I'm so happy it's back. It just makes me smile. And, like, I don't know. I feel like we are getting story progression, but not at the expense of character development.
Yes.
And I really, really love, like, any character-based show I'm usually going to be in for. And this just, the season is, like, really expanding even more characters on the show. And it makes me really happy that they have, like, the intelligence to, like, recognize that we want to know all of these characters, not just a select few.
We do. I mean, we want to know all of them. And the way that they're allowing us to get to know them is by putting them with different people than we've normally seen to show how they would react in various circumstances, which is great. Even Poppy, I feel like this brunch, like if you know, season one, Poppy goes to brunch with Joe and Rachel.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't. Like, that's not what we're seeing. We're never seeing that kind of stuff. And now we're getting like these very interesting mixes of people. And it's so fun to see them like together in that way. Even like some of the alone stuff, like we get amazing David content this episode as well. And I'm very interested to see where this goes. I feel like this movie is going, the movie that they're talking about in the episode is going to be something that lasts with us throughout the entire season. It has Biggs like, or it has big like Raven's Banquet vibes or you know, Zeus and Hera. Like, this feels to me like this is going to be probably our central conflict throughout this season.
Yes.
What that means though, I don't know.
Like, I think it could mean Ian pulling away from Poppy because he's too obsessed with what's going on at MQ. And as a result, like making Poppy feel like she's the only one working on this because like, that's what she wants, is to be left alone to get her work done. But she also wants like the camaraderie and someone to share the wins with.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling Ian's going to pull away in that way. And maybe Dana's going to get closer to Poppy as a result, right? Like, Ian's prodigy once was Poppy. Maybe now it's Dana. And I don't know. I think that could be kind of fun. I think that is an option. I really like where we're going. We're three episodes in and I feel like we are setting up the central conflict this season. And I'm really, really enjoying it.
Yeah, and I have a lot of trust in the show to, like, take us through this central conflict while still making us love these characters and telling a very interesting story. Yeah. I'm just so excited. Every week, Jess, we get a new episode of the show. I wish I got all of it right now up at once. But you know what? I'm okay.
In the week to week. It's fun.
I love it. I get excited every week for a new episode of Mythic Quest.
Yeah. So next week, we'll be back with episode 4 of the show, which I'm really excited about. Adam, what have you been doing lately? Where can people find you if they want to hear more?
Okay, well, I'm back from vacation, which means the podcasts are back, baby. Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, 1CHG Podcast on Twitter over with Todd and Lindy. We are almost done with our final season. Just a few episodes left. It's so exciting over there. Final Fantasy VII Remake on Post Show Recaps with Brooklyn Zed. We're having a ton of fun over there as well. Doctor Who Podcast with Kevin Monteo and Melissa Woodward. We're in the David Tennant era. We're doing some really, really fun episodes. Some a little scary episode this week. And then on Twitter, PNM and Adam1.
Fantastic. You could find me at The Jess Sterling. Of course, you can hear me on Community Building, covering season 4. Not my favorite season, but I do love podcasting about community. And the podcast is fun. So check that out. You can also hear me. I recently guested on the White Lotus podcast, which was just so much fun. I fully lost my mind. But I had so many thoughts on that show that I had to just spill my face out at Ariel and Dr. Amanda. So check out that podcast. Had a ton of fun here on Pusher Recaps. And of course, you can always hear me on Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, talking Dawson's Creek and Boy Meets World. We are nearing the end of our journey to the Boy Meets World finale. We have like, oh my God, we have like 4 podcasts left and I'm not ready for it emotionally. It's okay. We're almost done. 2.5 years in the making. I'm not going to cry. Dawson's Creek, always having a blast over there. Dawson lost his virginity. Hooray and huzzah. We Woo! Shall party.
Go Dawson and Jen. Yeah.
And then of course, coming up on the holiday season. So we're going to have a ton of Christmas bonus content for everybody. So go check that out at Shit90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Of course, one last time for the people in the back, subscribe at posterrecaps.com/binge show recaps. Leave us a rating and review. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. It keeps the lights on. So does our Patreon, posterrecaps.com/Patreon. Know somebody who loves the podcast? Give it to them as a gift for the holiday season.
Oh.
Join us. We're doing a gift exchange. It's a ton of fun. You'll meet so many fun people. Join us, posterrecaps.com/Patreon. That is all we have for you today.
Well, Jess, one more thing.
One more thing.
Hoopah!